So good. This morning I was appreciating the little bit of fellowship that I heard concerning morning revival. And the Lord reminded me that in Song of Songs, there's a certain point where the Lord says to His seeker, "Let me hear your voice. Let me see your countenance. For your countenance is lovely and your voice is sweet." So He really does appreciate our coming to Him in a personal and affectionate way. He likes to hear our voice and He likes to see our countenance. Sometimes He hears our voice and sometimes He only sees our countenance because we don't have anything to say. That's okay because He can still see us as we gaze on Him, right? So praise the Lord. We want to afford Him the enjoyment. Not only we get the enjoyment, but He gets the enjoyment as we're one with Him and as we're spending time with Him. Hallelujah. We want Him to hear our voice and we want Him to see our countenance. Because we also want to hear His voice and see His countenance, right? Isn't this marvelous? What a mutual enjoyment we have with our triune God.
Amen.
This morning, I like these titles for this morning series. Learning to live in union with Christ. Can we say that together? Learning to live in union with Christ. This is not automatic and it's not spontaneous. It's something that we are learning. By the way, let's see. The training started Monday night? Monday night. Okay, and this is Saturday morning. How are you all doing? I was fellowshipping with a couple of sisters back here, and we were remembering, you know, when Brother Lee was releasing the life study messages, he gave 10-day trainings. 10-day trainings, and he gave 3 messages a day. What's that? And he stood the whole time, and he spoke the whole time for 10 days. And two things are amazing. Well, two impressions I have right now. One is how the Lord could put so much in a brother that he could flow out like that for 10 days. 3 messages a day that were full of light, full of content, full of the riches from the Word. I mean, it was amazing. I mean, some of those, I better not go there. Anyway, so that was one. But the reason I mention it is this, that I was there sitting in many, many of those trainings, nearly all of them, and 10 days. So on the first day, I was really excited. And the second day, it was so good. And the third day, praise the Lord. And the fourth day, hallelujah. And by the sixth day, I was saying, "Lord, this is really good, and I don't know how I can take in anymore. It's so much. It's like a sponge that the water comes into and keeps coming into, and it absorbs and absorbs, and then it's dripping out, and unless something goes out, nothing else can get in." So I don't know where we are right now, Saturday morning, but maybe there's a little more capacity, maybe. Last night, I didn't mention these verses. I think we might have read the point, but it says concerning the life of the kingdom and the mysterious hidden nature of the divine life. The first point is that we need to have we need to be those who are poor in spirit and pure in heart. We need to be poor in spirit because if we are, the kingdom of the heavens is ours. And if we're pure in heart, we see God. But what is it to be poor in spirit? It doesn't just mean to be humble, and it doesn't mean to be impoverished. It means to be emptied out. We need to be those who are poor in spirit. And so actually, every time we come to the Lord, every time we come to the Word, we need to exercise to freshly empty out ourselves and be poor in spirit before Him. Lord, I come to You, and I come to Your Word. I've never seen it before. I'm just emptied and open to You for Your fresh speaking and Your fresh filling. Every time we come to a meeting, we should have this view and we should have this attitude, right? We come poor in spirit. We come as vessels empty and freshly available to be filled by Him. Praise the Lord. Poor in spirit and pure in heart, that means we only have one goal. We're pure in heart, we only see one thing, we only have one goal, and that goal is what? Christ Himself. Lord, You're our goal, my goal in this meeting, right? He's our goal. So we want to be poor in spirit, and we want to be pure in heart. Hallelujah. So I hope we all could exercise. There's two more messages, right? This morning. Three. After this one, two more. Okay. Praise the Lord. A lot more to see, a lot more to enjoy of this all-inclusive, all-extensive, unsearchably rich Christ. He's our portion. He's our God-allotted portion. Did we touch this already? He's the God-allotted portion given to us. We're qualified to receive a share of this all-inclusive Christ. How all-inclusive is He? If it's positive, He is the reality. If there's one positive thing you can think of, He is the reality of that thing. Right? Praise the Lord. You are sitting in a chair comfortably right now, I hope. I hope you're comfortable. Christ is the reality of that seat that you're sitting in. We are seated in Him and He is our rest so that we can be here pleasantly enjoying. Right? Every positive thing. He is our refreshment. He is our morning breakfast. Hallelujah. He is my scrambled eggs, my mango juice smoothie. Hallelujah. He's the reality of every positive thing. This all-inclusive Christ has been given to us by God as a portion for us to enjoy. And we will spend a little bit of time with that. Learning to walk in Christ, having been rooted and being built up in Him. Let's read Roman numeral 1 together. We just pre-read this. As we have received Christ, we should walk in Him. A. To walk in Christ is to live, to act, to behave, and to have our being in Him as our land and realm. It says we should walk in Him. A lot of Christians maybe have decided to walk with Jesus, and some have decided to walk for Jesus or beside Jesus, but how about walking in Him? We need to walk in Him as the very realm we're walking in. This is something much deeper, and this is actually the biblical. I don't think you can find that we should walk with Christ. Well, I don't know. I couldn't think of a verse that says we should walk with Christ. But in Colossians, Paul says that as we have received Him, we should walk in Him. That means the same way we received Him, we need to be walking in Him. And to walk in Him means that He has to be a realm for us. Right? We walk in a realm. And this realm that we've been brought into is typified in the Old Testament. Did we cover this? By the all-inclusive good land. Okay. Oh, just briefly. There are Christians today who have received Christ as their Passover lamb. And that's it. And they're happy. And if you tell them there's more, they say, I don't want to hear it. I received Him. I believed in Him. I'm a sinner saved by grace. That's it. In a sense, you could say that they have enjoyed the Passover lamb, but they never have gone as far as leaving Egypt. So there's essentially three places we can be as believers. One is we can have enjoyed the Passover lamb and be in Egypt. We can have enjoyed the Passover lamb that energized us to leave Egypt. That means to get out of Satan's territory, get out of the world, get out of all of the usurping things, and go into the wilderness to enjoy Christ as our heavenly manna, as the bread of God for us to live and be reconstituted with. And as we enjoy Him in this way, we get the materials to build the tabernacle. What is a tabernacle? The tabernacle is a portable dwelling place of God. not that permanent, but it's a place where God can dwell among His people. But there's a third place, and that is what? That's the good land. That's the good land. And God's goal is to bring all of us, not only out of Egypt and into the wilderness, but from the wilderness all the way into the good land. So, have we been brought into the good land? We have been brought into the good land, and we have been rooted in this good land. Okay, we'll get to that more, but the all-inclusive portion that we've been allotted, you know, the children of Israel, when they came into the land, God designated different places for each one. Each one had an allotment. And depending on which tribe you were in, that determined what lot you got. But no matter what lot you got, it was in a land that has one unique description, and that is good. No matter where you are, it's a good land. And so this is our allotted portion, is this rich, wonderful, all-inclusive land, and that land is Christ Himself, right? So this is the portion we all have been allotted. And since we've been allotted this portion, we should walk in it. We should walk in this land. And this is what Paul says in Colossians 2. We should walk in this land. It's our allotted portion. Okay, I better move. We should walk. Let's read B together. We should walk, live, and act in Christ that we may enjoy His riches, just as the children of Israel enjoying all the rich produce. I just recommend Deuteronomy 8, 7 through 10 to you, and let me tell you this. That is a description, one of the major places you'll find in the New, in the Old Testament that describes the good land, the type of the good land. There's another place or two that you can see more, but this is the main place. Now, Brother Lee gave a conference in 1962, I guess it was, concerning the all-inclusive Christ. And he developed so many aspects that you can see in just these few verses in Deuteronomy. The point is this. What he said was, that was just an introduction. We need to develop and get into all of these points much, much more. Because our Christ is unsearchably rich, and this land has so many aspects with so many significances. Anyway, we need to be those who are enjoying all the riches of Christ, and in our walking, we are exploring all of these riches. He is a good land for us to walk in. The good land today is Christ as the all-inclusive Spirit who dwells in our spirit to be our enjoyment. Galatians 3:14 says that the blessing of Abraham comes to the Gentiles through faith, that we can receive the promise of the Spirit. The blessing of Abraham, the promise of the Spirit. So, in the Old Testament, the blessing that Abraham was given was basically two things, the seed and the land. This blessing of the seed and the land, now Paul interprets to be what? The Spirit. So the Spirit today, the all-inclusive Spirit, is the blessing of Abraham. And we have received, even we who are Gentiles, originally separated, alienated from the life of God, strangers, foreigners to the commonwealth of Israel. All now we can receive the blessing of Abraham, which is the all-inclusive, compound, life-giving Spirit. Amen. As the reality of this good land. So, to walk in Christ as the good land is to walk in the all-inclusive Spirit. This is where we need to have our living. So, then D. To walk according to this Spirit is the central, crucial, and vital point in the New Testament. Can we read that again together? To walk according to the Spirit is the central, crucial, and vital point in the New Testament. If you get one thing, and actually I would say if you get one thing from this whole weekend, I mean this whole week, get this point. This is the crucial point. The crucial point is to walk according to this Spirit. This Spirit is the all-inclusive Spirit. This Spirit is Christ with all of His riches, all of His processes, all He's gone through. Remember that diagram, the wiring diagram? All of that is in the Spirit. And this Spirit is a portion that we can receive, enjoy, and walk in.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He is the Spirit for us to walk in today. So Colossians 2 says walk in Him. That's walk in Christ. Galatians 5 says walk. Where? By the Spirit. And then Romans 8:4 says walk according to the Spirit. And that is our mingled spirit, the small s spirit. So how do we walk according to Christ? And how do we walk in Christ? We walk according to the all-inclusive Spirit by walking according to our mingled spirit. We want to take care of our mingled spirit. We'll get into more of this because this is really how we learn to walk in Christ. F, to walk in Christ means not to have any substitute for Christ. Our living should not be according to anything other than Christ. Paul uses three words that we probably have read. I wrote them down here. Deluded, carried off, and defrauded. If it's not Christ, and we are spending our time living according to that, enjoying that, occupied with that, whatever that thing is, we are being deluded, defrauded, and carried off. Let's go back to the land. We are the children of Israel. We've gone through the wilderness. We've gone into the good land. We're now building up something in the land. We're laboring in the land. And oh, you know, when you labor in the land, you plant something, it grows. Oh, and the fruit is so good in this land. It's marvelous. And the riches are there. The iron is there. Everything is there for building. It's all there. But for some reason, you got convinced, hey, come on over here. It's easier over where we are. You got carried off as spoil from the land. That's what Paul's talking about. We got carried away from the good land to something else. I read a Greek history about the Greek army. Actually, they didn't have a land army so much as they had a marine army. What do you call that? Navy. So, hard word. So, this navy, and this was from like 400 BC, they became a maritime power, the Greeks. And they ruled the whole Mediterranean. And what was striking to me was this. When they would go and conquer a land, they had slaves, the Greeks did, that when they conquered a land, they would say, slaves, you can now be free, and you go and you take a lot, take a portion in this land that we just possessed. And they got assigned to that land. That became their portion that they received. In a sense, a battle has been fought and a land has been won. And that land that's been won is Christ Himself as our God-allotted portion. So we were slaves, but we were sent into this land. And what we don't want is for the enemy to somehow come capture us, defraud us, and carry us away. And of course, that's what he's doing, or he's trying to do day by day through all of our environment, is to try to defraud us, delude us, carry us away from the enjoyment of this all-inclusive Christ. Roman numeral 2, our walk in Christ is based on two conditions, that we have been rooted in Him and that we are being built up in Him. If you read those verses again, I actually saw sort of a precondition and condition and a qualifier. My grammar here. He says, as therefore you have received the Christ, Jesus the Lord, walk in Him. So that's some kind of modifier, I guess. How do we walk in Him? We walk in Him the same way we received Him. How did you receive Him? You received Him through the dispensing of the triune God. God dispensed himself into you, that was your receiving, right? So as we receive him, in the same way, we need to walk in him. That means that every day needs a day that needs to be a day that we are under the divine dispensing and receiving him. That's the way we walk in him. We walk in him as we received him. Then number two, it says that we walk in him having been rooted and being built up. So the walk is based on our having been rooted, and the walk is based on our being built up. So we need to take care of these conditions. We are plants rooted in Christ as the real soil, and we may absorb all his riches as nourishment. We spent time on this last night, and I want to get to a practical point, so just briefly we can just touch this, but we have been planted in him. That rooting means we got put into him. And that happened. It's past tense, right? It says we have been rooted in him. And so the roots are in the soil. And Christ himself is the rich soil with the minerals. And there's water in the soil. And Brother Matt said that the air is really a big component of what the tree becomes. So I think you get air both in the soil and in the surrounding environment. Anyway, the main beneficiary or benefit, what's the word? The main benefit for the tree is that it's rooted in this rich soil. And it needs to absorb all that's in the soil so that it can be a healthy tree. So we want to absorb Christ as in all his riches as the real soil. B, the only way to become deeply rooted in Christ as the soil is to contact him as the soil and to daily absorb his water in the Word. So somebody shared, I think it was one of the sisters shared something about after so far this week, I think the point is getting in, that there's a real stress on spending time with the Lord in a consistent way, day by day, right? There's no shortcut and there's no other way other than to daily contact him, to daily absorb him, to daily spend time in his Word. Daily spend time in his Word. This is the way for the roots to go deeper, is to daily absorb and to daily contact him. We should daily spend more time to absorb the Lord, spending time in our spirit to adore, praise, offer thanks, speak. I like those. Adore the Lord, praise him, offer thanks to him, and speak to him freely. Praise the Lord. Daily spend time to absorb. The Lord touched me just a little bit about one aspect. You know, the roots go into the soil. They draw the riches out of the soil. And the roots should go deeper and deeper. I think these will tie together, but the roots should go deeper and deeper. Sometimes it seems they don't go deeper. You know, in Matthew and in Mark both, there's the parable of the sower that went forth to sow. And depending on the condition of the receiver, that depended on how far the roots went down. And, I mentioned last night about the oak trees that got blown over because they didn't have a lot of depth. The Lord said the same thing in Matthew 13 and in Mark chapter 4 concerning some who received the word. And yet, when the sun rose up, they got scorched because, it says this, they had no root. Had no root. Doesn't mean literally no root at all. It just means it was so very shallow. It had to have some root to sprout up at all, but it didn't go deep. And therefore, the environment, which should have helped the plant grow, actually killed the plant. The footnote says a death blow to the plant. And I just wanted to share this. Concerning the roots going deeper, the causes for the roots to not go deeper. And these are matters that, brothers and sisters, we all should be continually exercised, that the Lord would have the way to go deeper in us and for our roots to go deeper in Him by taking care of these matters. So the causes for the roots to not go deeper. In the parable, it's there's rocks in the soil. There's on the surface there's dirt, but right underneath there's a lot of rocks there. And those rocks prevent the roots from going deeper. And those rocks are a number of things. And I'll just mention a few of them. I would say number one would be hidden sins. That, you know, I don't need to say too much about it other than to mention it, that if there are hidden sins that are not dealt with, that will prevent the roots from going deeper. At that point, it doesn't matter, in a sense, how much time you spend kind of going through a practice if you don't deal with the Lord concerning hidden sins. Those become a frustration to the roots going deeper. So, there are hidden sins. I may be too bold to say this, but I believe that in this room, probably no exceptions. You have some hidden sin. You need to deal with it before the Lord and open to Him to allow Him to gain that ground in your being. Otherwise, the roots can't go deeper. So this is one. Then another matter would be our opinions, our ambition. These become frustrations. And if we don't give ourselves to the Lord and let Him operate in us, then the roots can't go deeper in our being. So we want the experience of our roots going deep into Him, right? And Him gaining all the ground in our being. So this is an area we need to be exercised, and this is actually how we walk in Him. Let me go a little further here. Okay, a couple more points. Oh, there it is. Sorry, I have to go back up. In Roman numeral 1, under E, let's read this together. Our walking in Christ is the cooperation we render in His activity. We should always cooperate with Him and say amen whenever He moves. Isn't that good? Let me read it again. Our walking in Christ is the cooperation we render to Him. That's walking. Walking is just cooperating with Him. In His activity. It's His move. It's His activity. And our walking is to say amen and go along with His move. You know, the logical ones here, and a lot of, you know, here you are, you're all exercising your minds in college and trained that way. Okay, we got this analogy. We're the trees planted. Paul says, walk in Him having been rooted. Okay, I got a contradiction there. Which is it? Is it walk or be rooted? Because once I'm rooted, I can't walk. Right? You don't see walking trees. But Paul says, walk in Him having been rooted. How does that work? This point on the outline is a little key as to how that works. To walk according to the Spirit. Our walking in Christ is the cooperation we render to Him in His activity. So, we're rooted in Christ, who is an all-extensive, all-inclusive, wonderful, good land. But this is not a static, inorganic land. This is a moving, active, living land, which is Christ Himself. And our walking in Him is our cooperating with His move. As a land, He's moving. I guess if you were to take a physical analogy, maybe it's like a glacier. Okay, the glacier is moving, and we're planted on it, and as the glacier moves, we move. And our move is just to cooperate with that, the move of the land we're in. So, brothers and sisters, we need to be those sending our roots deeper and deeper into Christ as the all-inclusive good land. And when we do, we'll find out And we'll catch this point again. We'll find out that He's moving. He's a moving land, and He wants to do things. He wants to do things throughout our day. He wants to do things in our lives. And the question is, are we walking in Him? And the way to walk in Him is to say, Amen. To give Him our cooperation when He touches us, when He urges us concerning something. Okay, we had a good time in morning revival. We opened, we confessed, we dealt with the Lord. We praised Him. We enjoyed the fact that He is so fine in His humanity, never coarse with anybody. We just enjoyed Him. Anyway, so then we go about our day. And as we're on our day, we're sitting in class, and we notice this person next to us. And inside there's an urging. Give him a tract. Oh, not a tract. No, not a tract. I'll wait for a chance when I can give him a tract. When we cooperate, we're walking in Him. When we don't cooperate, we're not walking in Him anymore. We'll have to deal with the Lord because He urged us and we didn't go along with it. That was His little move right there in the classroom. That was His move. And if we cooperate, we are walking in Him. And we enjoy the fresh dispensing of this wonderful one as we cooperate with Him. If we don't, then we have to deal with it and have to take care of that and have to confess, Lord, I'm sorry, I just wasn't one with You. Right? So this is to practically walk. Okay, then the riches we absorb become the element and substance with which we grow and are built up. So in Colossians it says that we walk in Him having been rooted and being built up. So here we have these metaphors again. So we have the trees that are planted, they're rooted, and then it says being built up. Hold on. Trees aren't built up. Buildings are built up. Houses are built. Temples are built. What is it? The building up in Colossians 2 is actually a matter of growth. It is. You could use the example of one of the young brothers. I don't see one particular I want to point out, but one of the young brothers who eats well, exercises well, gets built up, grows to maturity, right? This is the building up in Colossians 2. It is a building up that's the growth of life. And that growth is nothing less than God Himself being added into us. So in Colossians, he says that we are growing with the growth of God. We grow with the growth of God. And that is the element of God being added into our being. That God Himself is dispensing Himself into us, and the more of His element that gets into us, the more we grow. And that growth is the very building up. So we grow and we walk in Him, having been rooted and being built up in Him. True growth, so we just read that. True growth is the increase of God within us. It is, we didn't. Okay, let's read E together. True growth is the increase of God within us. It is the result of turning to the Spirit, remaining in the Spirit, and absorbing the nourishing element of Christ. Amen. It's the result of what? Turning to the Spirit. I wanted to share one experience I had also concerning cooperating. Kind of like the illustration. One day I went to take care of a practical matter. I went to a cleaner's, tailor guy to get some clothes altered. And then I went to pick them up later. And when I went to pick them up, I had a little conversation with the guy behind the counter. And thanked him. And while I was there, I got that nudging I was telling you about. Give him a tract. Give him a Bible card. So we finished our deal, and I hesitated, and I said, "I'll probably see him again." I went up to the car, and I got as far as the car, and put the clothes in the back seat. And within, the Lord said, if you don't go back, I mean, there was no what the consequences were, but that was enough. So I had to go back, and I had to go back in and give him the Bible card and share with him a little bit. There's no conclusion to the story other than my point is that that kept me walking in Christ. Otherwise, I don't know. I mean, it would have taken me having to deal with the Lord, hopefully by the next morning, if not sooner. But this is how we give him the cooperation, and this is how we walk in him. We walk in him by exercising our spirit and being responsive when he urges us, when he nudges us, when he's moving in a certain activity. And if we do, then we are walking in him, we're being built up in him. And this actually even causes our roots to go deeper in him. Okay. We read E, right? Let's read F and G together. In Colossians 2:7, to be built up actually means to grow up. This means that we are built up in the Lord and experience an increase in the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. The building up of the body corporately depends upon the individual and the personal building up of all members. And that's a good point. To conclude with, is that the building up corporately depends on the building up of each of us individually and personally. So in Ephesians, when it talks about the building up of the body, the stress there is the corporate building up. But in Colossians, the having been rooted and being built up is for each of us, that we personally need to be rooted in him and being built up in him by the increase of God himself within us. And that building up, individually and personally, is for the corporate building up of the body of Christ. So, we need to learn to walk in Christ, having been rooted and being built up in him. Let's read the focus. In order to walk in Christ as our all-inclusive land, we need to be deeply rooted in Christ as the soil, and daily spend time to absorb with Christians, that we may grow and be built up.